welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Father, what great words for us to sing at the beginning of this brand new year. And yet, Lord, what difficult words to put into practice in real life, that the things of earth would grow strangely dim to us, to our eyes, to our ears, to our thoughts, to our desires and our pursuits. But Lord, I ask that you would help that be so in each of our lives. I pray that as we begin this new year, and in a sense it's just another day, but the way that we mark time, for us it's the beginning of something new, and in a sense we have a fresh start. And so, Lord, I just ask you that that you would give us, each of us, an uncommon desire to want to pursue you this year like we never have before. And I pray that that truly the things of this world would lose their grip on us and their value. And I ask that this would be a year that we would really value you and our relationship with you more than anything else. Thank you for this time that we have together this morning to worship you and to think upon the cross today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, I want to ask you just to open to John chapter 13, please. John 13. I just want to take a few brief minutes before communion and just share some thoughts with you, and I hope this will be an encouragement. We'll look at a verse in just a few minutes in John 13, and then we'll back up and look at a couple verses just prior to that. I've told you a number of times before that it is easier to start something than it is to finish it. It's easier to get married than it is to stay married. Statistics show that. It's easier to have a child than to raise a child. Students, it's easier to start school than it is to finish school. Am I talking to the right group of people today? And did you know, church, that it's easier to become a Christian and receive Jesus as your Savior than it is to follow Him all the days of your life as your Lord? Am I still speaking to the right group of people today? We all get that, I think. If we've got enough miles on our odometer, we get that. It's easier to start things than it is to finish things. The hardest thing in the world to do when we're in the middle of very long, difficult, trying, exhausting, whatever adjective you may want to add in there, times in our life, the hardest thing to do is to press through and be faithful despite the circumstances. Parents, how many times have we experienced this in raising children? Those times when you are exhausted beyond description, and everything has gone wrong. You had a flat tire in the pouring rain that day. The neighbor's dog bit you. Your check to the church bounced. you're exhausted and you fall into bed that night, and about an hour later you hear, "Mommy, I don't feel good." You had those nights, and you're up all night loving on and caring for that child. It's so difficult to press through times when you're tired, when you're worn out, when you don't feel like doing what you ought to do. Students, when you have exams coming up and you're tired from all the, you know, thumb movement on your phone, and you're worn out from that and the hard work of texting, and you gotta study for those big exams, and they're just kind of looming over you like a dark cloud, and you're scared, and you don't want to face it, you don't want to go through it, and it seems like such a hard obstacle. The easiest thing is just to kind of quit. The hardest thing is to be faithful, to press through, and to do what you need to do. Hey, here's what I want to say to you this morning, and we'll kind of talk about this a little more in the weeks ahead, God willing, unless he changes that up. In 2012, here's what I want you to know. Every one of us in this room today is going to be tempted to quit something. Yours will be different from mine, maybe. But every one of us this year, I promise you, we're all going to be tempted at some point along the way to quit something that we ought not quit. Have you ever taken time to study the life of Christ and see and just sort of feel how many things he had to press through in order to go to the cross and redeem us? We dare not think that, oh, well, he was the Son of God, he just sort of whistled his way to the cross. No. One thing that I see in his life, and he is our example, by the way, that we should follow. One thing I see in his life is a determination, a strength, a resolve to finish the mission that his Father assigned him to. You think he would have rather had a different mission? I believe he would have. And yet his Father assigned him this mission. You know how we would say it in our terminology today? If I can just sort of take that and make it a whole lot more personal for us. Here's what we say today. How can I find God's will for my life? You know what God's will was for Jesus' life? To suffer and to die on a cross. See, we often think, boy, I hope God's will for me is to become a millionaire. God, I could really serve you, you know, with all that. I hope God's will for me doesn't involve too much trouble and difficulty and pain. And yet, our example, Christ, had unquestionably the darkest, most horrific will that God has ever assigned to anyone. Do you not think there were times in his life when it would have been easier for him just to call it quits? And say, "Father, I'm done. I can't do this." You see, all through his life, it wasn't just the cross. All through his life, the things that he endured and pressed through in order to redeem us are mind-boggling. First of all, the fact that he knew what his future held. And it wasn't a hammock on the beach in the Bahamas sipping a piña colada. He knew. You see, some people say, oh, I just wish God would show me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want God to show you your future because it may hold some things. In fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's going to hold a lot of great, wonderful things. But I'm telling you, if you follow Christ, all of our futures are going to hold some things that will terrify us if we knew them now. So it's His grace, by His grace, that He keeps His hand over our eyes and only lets us see a few steps ahead. But Jesus knew. Think of this. Every day for 33 years when He woke up, He knew He was one day closer to the cross. And yet He pressed through. Man, there are times if I have something looming over me that I know I just don't want to face, I can't go 2 weeks thinking about it. He went His whole life. He went His whole life suffering the ridicule of people around Him. He was speaking one time and some of His critics called out, yeah, we know who you are. You're the one born of fornication. His whole life he was known as the illegitimate son. He had to put up with that his whole life. And yet he pressed through. His own family at one point thought he was nuts. You know, you could almost see them from that text just kind of, you know, his brothers putting their arm around him going, Jesus, listen, let's just go home, okay? You're making a fool of yourself. Come on. He had to live with that his whole life. People lied about him. People misquoted him. They made fun of him. And then at the cross, when he was getting ready to take that final step for us, he pressed through once more. We see, I just want to show you this quickly, John 13, 1. Just to sort of let you hear the dramatic music that hits here in John 13, 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He knew that the time had come to face the cross. Now, back up just a few verses to John 12, 27. With that on his mind, knowing that the cross is the next step, I want you to see, we catch a tiny glimpse of the struggle that he went through. Not, oh yeah, hey, we got a few hours to the cross, no problem. He was facing something that in his humanness, he was terrified of. John 12, 27. You ever notice this prayer of Jesus? He's praying. He's crying out to the Father, knowing what's about to happen. He says, and now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? He's asking that question. Is that what I should pray? Father, save me from this hour? I'm not sure how long of a pause there was between the end of that question and the next statement. But the next thing he said was, no, no. It was for this cause that I came to this hour. And in verse 28, he says, Father, glorify your name. Staggering. And what I want to say to you as we begin this new year together is verse 28 should be our prayer. How many verse 27s do we have in our life? When something comes our way that we go, I didn't ask for this. I don't deserve this. God, this is too much for me. Just save me from this hour. But I want to encourage each of us this year to make John 12:28 our theme. No, don't save me from this hour. I want you to glorify your name through this. That is what our Savior did for us. He pressed through a lifetime of ridicule and slander. And when he faced the cross, he was beaten and spat upon. His beard was ripped out of his face. He had a crown of thorns beaten into his head. He was beaten so badly that he was unrecognizable. He was nailed to a cross, hung there in agony. Even as he was dying, people were still ridiculing him. If you're the Son of God, come down from there. Save yourself. And he pressed through all of that to finish God's will for his life. Aren't you thankful, church, that he didn't quit? We wouldn't be here today. Who knows where our lives would be? He pressed through. And on this first day of 2012, I just want you to ask yourself, are you willing to stay faithful this year to the path that God has put you on? Whether you like it or not. See, there's so much teaching today that says if you sow a seed into this ministry or if you have enough faith, life's going to come up roses. God's going to bless you with abundance. And listen, God's already blessed us with all the blessings we could ever stand. He gave us His Son. And if He never gave us another scrap of bread, another ray of sunshine, for the next 50 years, we would still be blessed. You get that, right? Are we willing this year to stay committed to the path that God has us on? Because Jesus pressed through for us. We owe it to Him to press through for Him. Father, I think for all of us, our natural tendency is to want to quit when things get hard. I thank You for the examples that I see all around me in this church, though, of people who press on, even in hard times. They stay faithful when perhaps others don't. Lord, there's so much at stake here. There's so much at stake. We look across the landscape of history and we see that it is strewn with the wreckage of lives of people who once followed You, who no longer do. I pray, God, none of us would be numbered in that group. God, help us. Help us to stay faithful to You. May this year be a new beginning for so many, with purpose and resolve by Your Spirit to run the course that You've given to us to finish our race for the sake of Christ. Father, thank You for Your Son, for the gift of salvation that we have because of the hell that He went through. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can't think of a better way than what we just did to start a new year. Can you? That's just so beautiful. So glad you're here. One of the things that, as you know, if you've been here on communion before, we love to do, as we're just, as I said, kind of circled up together as a family, is we love to hear from a couple other folks in our congregation, just to hear what God's doing in their life. And as you know, I from day one here, I've been a huge advocate of the fact that you don't always need to hear from me because God's doing great things in a lot of people's lives. And so this is our kind of the time that we take to do that. And we have two of our folks who are going to come and just share a brief testimony of what God's doing with them. I hope that you'll be blessed by it. The first person is Cindy Hesselgrave. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet Cindy and Dean, but they've been coming for a while now. Dean had the privilege of baptizing his children about a month ago right here, and that was a great service. And so, Cindy, let me ask you, if you would, to come on up. And if you would just put your hands together and welcome her. It's always nerve-wracking to come up here. Cindy, thanks so much for sharing today.
I appreciate this opportunity to share, and I just want to say how wonderful it was to have that time of communion and just remembering what Christ has done for us. And I'm just thankful to, like Pastor Phil said, just to start this new year doing that, remembering that Jesus has instituted a new covenant, writing God's law on our heart. It's not external anymore. He's changed us from the inside out. And because of what he has done, we are free to follow Christ and enjoy a relationship with him. It's not about working to get one anymore. It's just receiving it. And I'm just so thankful for that, for all that he's done for me, and how he's changed my heart and given me a new heart that longs to just obey him and to worship him and serve him, and just also to delight to be a part of his body of believers that are here. And I'm thankful for this grace and freedom. And I love that just the fact that we can rest in his amazing grace. He has done it all for us. He's given us this, our salvation. He has accepted us in Christ. And he's given us his righteousness. And I'm just thankful that he has led us to a community of believers that teaches and lives out that grace. A church that knows that the main thing is not about rules or tradition, but it's about a relationship with him. And I want to testify to the goodness of our Lord in answering our prayers and leading our family. He's such a faithful, loving God to see our need and to meet it even before we know to ask it. Back in the spring, my husband Dean and I had been sensing God's leading to change churches, but we didn't know where to go. And believe me, we'd looked around a lot. We started praying and seeking and asking the Lord to show us where he wanted us to be. My daughter Annie and I had been involved in Rita Santana's Pure Princess Club, if you guys know about that, I know. We actually came here for a full year for monthly meetings before I never even thought about this church, actually, and that's no offense. It's just it wasn't the Lord's timing for us at that time. But after several months of praying about a church home, the Lord brought Life Point to my mind. And I mentioned it to Dean, and he was open to that. And I asked him, I just talk to Rita about her church just to kind of do some surveillance underneath before we even came to see what it was like and just kind of get a feel for it. And so I emailed her, and she, of course, you guys know how much she loves this church. She just was bragging on the Lord and all that he was doing here and the families that were here and how God was working. We weren't able to come that Sunday, but Dean and I both, he said, let's just check out the website. So I don't know if anybody has checked out a church more than we did before we even came. But the website gave us a lot of good information. So after we listened to several sermons by Phil, we both felt like that the Lord was leading us here. And even though I didn't tell Dean, I thought this was the church for us, even before we came that first Sunday. And on our first visit here, we were greeted warmly, and we felt very welcome by this church family. And that was even before Front Porch Ministry started. So we just sensed that there was just a lot of people that love the Lord and were just free to love the Lord and serve him, and were very warm. And our kids loved their class, and they made new friends. The Cannon family and the Santanas were just a special blessing to us right away. We appreciate them so much. We're thankful to the Lord for his leading, for leading us here and for how he's teaching us and challenging us through the music and the sermons and all the ministries here at Life Point. He is an amazing God, how he cares for us so much, even down to the smallest detail. For us, it was a really big thing finding a church that we felt like the Lord was going to put us in, and one that our kids could just to love and want to come. Even this morning, I was looking out, and I told Alex it didn't look like a lot of people were here because there was a lot of empty seats, and we were greeting, And I know it's a holiday, so I mentioned that. And he said, why would anybody not want to come to church? And I just hope that he feels that way his whole life, that he just loves the Lord and loves the church, meaning the body of Christ. And that's one of the things Phil has actually taught us and said to us several times, that he hopes our kids not just love the Lord but love the church. And in our family, we're studying Hebrews 13 right now about not forsaking the assembling. And Annie told me that she really likes the assembling. We feel like the Lord has been so gracious to us to bring us here, and we're excited to start this new year in our church home. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, we're excited to have you guys here too, and thanks so much for sharing that beautiful testimony. It's great to see how God leads people and weaves our lives together, as we cross paths and get to take the journey together. Well, before we come to the closing part of our service, I'm looking forward to hearing from one more of our folks. Eric Austin has been coming for not that long. Eric and Carol and their family have come. And Eric, you come on up. We're really thankful for them and for their faithfulness already, their desire to serve the Lord. And Eric had a very difficult experience right after he came here. And I'm so thankful that he was here and we were able to kind of walk that road with him a little bit. Y'all, I forgot, welcome Eric here as well. Thank you.
Well, Phil wanted me to tell you a little bit about how we came to be here at Life Point, and she just stepped down. Cindy and Carol and were talking, and we were much in the same boat. We were looking for a church. Had been in a dry and thirsty land for about a year. We had visited around to several different churches, but none of them were home. And we came here and visited maybe twice. And as Phil mentioned, my mother passed away rather suddenly. And you guys just reached out to us, and it was really neat. You didn't know me. You had no idea who we were. And yet you reached out and you ministered to us and loved on us. And we really appreciate that. And we do feel at home here. You guys have made us very welcome. And so I want to tell you a little bit about myself. When Pastor Phil asked if I'd share my testimony, my response was, of course, I love to tell about the change that God has made in my life. And to give you hope for that, God is in the business of changing people's lives. He can take anybody. I mean, a little background about me. When I was in my early 20s, all I ever wanted to be was in law enforcement. And I was a deputy sheriff for 7 or 8 years, and I was very good at what I did. I worked in narcotics for a couple of years, but I was very cold. I was hard, I was mean, I was cruel, but I was also very good at leading a dual life. I grew up in church. My mom was a pianist. We were there every time the door was open. I knew the right things to say. I knew about God. I didn't know God. I was self-deceived. I thought that I was saved. But there's a verse that I read that really struck home. And Moose, I understand this is instrumental in your life as well, Matthew 7. Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who's in heaven will enter. Many will say to me, Eric will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not perform many miracles? And he'll say, I didn't know you. I didn't know who you are. Depart. And that was me. And about 10 years ago, we were going to a local church here, and the Lord got a hold of my life, and change started to occur. And that, I believe, was the time that I was saved, because that's when the difference started occurring in my life. I mean, I'm not the same man that Carol married. 16 years ago. You know, I mean, God has taught me how to care about people again. You know, I can remember as a deputy working a suicide and swapping jokes with the EMS guy in the same room with the family that was grieving. But he's taught me how to cry with my kids and how to care about a skinned knee. So God is in the business of changing people's lives. And he can do it in my life. I know he can do it in others. So I want to thank you for all you guys are doing. And for the way you made us feel welcome is incredible. And that's, to me, that's what a church is supposed to be, is to be able to minister and to reach out. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric.
That's good stuff, isn't it? God is in the business of changing lives. And don't tell Eric I said this, but he's one of the few men I am deathly afraid of. I know he could crush me like a dry pretzel. And so I'm very nice to Eric. And I have his phone number on speed dial because he's the one dude I want to call if I ever get in a rumble somewhere. Because you know me, I'm always getting in rumbles. That's how it goes. Dale asked if he could just say something real quick. Dale, come on up, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this caveat on that is God is in the business of changing lives. This Christmas was a pretty special Christmas for Marianne and I. Out of all the four kids we have, this was the first time in 7 years that we had all four of them come home for Christmas. And what really made it special was our youngest son. He's in the military, and he just got back from Afghanistan last year. And him and I have had a pretty rocky relationship about three years. And we haven't really spoken, and I haven't even seen him in several years. And he called me beginning of December and said he wanted to come home for Christmas and asked if I could get a ticket for him. So, of course, I said, absolutely, and so it was just, it was a really special time. We had a chance to reconcile, and it was just awesome. So I just praise God for that.
Thanks. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunities to hear what you're doing and what you've done in the lives of other people. God, you are an amazing God. There's nothing else in this world that can change people's lives the way you can. Thank you for the testimonies today of changed lives. Thank you for the way that you lead people. And Lord, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for all that you are doing in our lives and excited about what you have ahead for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.